Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast, where I've been reading you Deep in the Woods, Book 1 of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. Today I will continue to read you Annabelle Joseph's book with Episode 14. Chapter 14. Ryan shoved everything in the car and put out the fire, while Dave checked Sophie over with trembling fingers for some insect bite, some sprained muscle or broken limb. Nothing. Then he remembered that Ryan was the doctor and asked him to look at her. Ryan checked her over, peered into her eyes with a flashlight looking for concussion. He determined that she was perfectly fine physically, aside from the shivers that shook her. They started back at once. Ryan drove while Dave cradled Sophie in the back seat. At first she hadn't responded to any of his questions, and he truly began to panic, until Ryan reminded him that the sound of his voice was still dampened by the plugs in her ears. Dave fished them out and spoke to her as calmly as he was able, asking her name, her age, how she was feeling, whether anything was hurting. She answered with quiet sighs and responses, but her gaze was somewhere far away. "Hospital or home?" asked Ryan when they reached the interstate.
"Home. We'll call Dr. Perez in the morning. This isn't a physical problem, I don't think."
"No hospital," Sophie moaned.
"No, baby. Are you sure nothing hurts?"
She shook her head and buried her face against Dave's side. He stroked her hair.
"I would feel better if you could explain to me what happened."
"Nothing. Nothing happened," she said.
They rode in silence until Dave felt Sophie unwind against his chest, her breathing slow and regular.
"Dave, I swear I did nothing to hurt her," Ryan said quietly.
"I was a little rough, but I was careful. I didn't. I hope."
"God." "It's okay, Rye. I was there the whole time. She seemed to be enjoying herself until the end."
"It was almost as if some switch turned or something. I was looking down at her and it was like Sophie went away someplace."
"I know. That happens sometimes, usually after nightmares, but never anything like tonight."
"Has she had a brain scan? What does her psychiatrist say?"
"She sees a counselor, not a psychiatrist."
Ryan was silent a moment.
"You may want to consider, well, it's none of my business, just plain doctor. I'm sure she's getting excellent care. But the human brain is a very complicated organ. Who knows how much he knocked her around in addition to drugging her?"
Dave's throat tightened. "I just don't know sometimes. I don't know if she's okay or not. And I don't know what else to do to help her get better."
"You're doing all you can. You're taking care of her. You're loving her. You're supporting her through some difficult nights. Don't be too hard on yourself, David. You've always been too hard on yourself."
"I saw something,"
Sophie blurted out, coming awake abruptly.
"I screamed because I thought I saw something. But it was just my mind playing tricks on me. Maybe your camera flash freaked me out. You don't have to take me home. What about our camping trip? I wanted to sleep in the tent tonight."
"The camping trip's over when you wig out and start screaming, hon. Let's get you home and put in a call to Dr. Perez."
"I'm fine, Dave. Ryan has to leave tomorrow. I'm ruining all the fun."
"You're not ruining anything," said Ryan, glancing back over his shoulder. "Don't worry about me. I've had more fun on this trip than I've had all year. We'll just take it easy and make sure you're okay."
Dave sighed as she relaxed against him again. Soon her breathing became slow and steady. He looked down at her pale face in the innocence of sleep and felt another pang of guilt. What was wrong with him? Dragging her out into pitch blackness, making her run, frantic, pursued, standing to the side, taking pictures while his friend fucked her. What the hell did he expect her to do? He knew what had happened, felt it hard and jagged in the pit of his stomach. He'd finally pushed her too far. She played along to please him, and he had taken advantage of it, just like him, Barry. It was his responsibility as her lover, as her owner, to set the limits she wouldn't set for herself. He saw that now, that she wouldn't say no out of a sense of duty or love for him. It would be up to him to draw the lines from now on, and he silently pledged to do better. He would never take her too far again, if only because he couldn't bear to ever again hear those miserable screams. Sophie shifted and looked up at Dr. Perez through swollen red eyes, thinking how kind it was of her to meet on such short notice. Dave had placed the call, and she'd agreed to see her first thing in the morning at her office. Dave told Sophie to tell Dr. Perez whatever she felt she had to, not to hold anything back on his account. He meant if Sophie needed to tell her about the camping trip, about Ryan and their antics together, that she could. But Sophie felt that was none of Dr. Perez's business, and it didn't matter anyway. That wasn't why she was upset. No, it had nothing to do with Dave, nothing to do with Ryan. Sophie had a horrible feeling it had to do with her.
Sophie, sometimes the mind suppresses memories or feelings it doesn't want to deal with. You did a lot of that, didn't you? There are a lot of things about your last relationship that you chose to put away. You told me to put things away, remember?
Yes. That's certainly a valid coping mechanism, especially when you're trying to move past bad experiences and get on with your life.
You tell me you're very happy in your new relationship, and you've been taking steps toward fulfilling lifelong dreams, medical school, and so on. Yes, I am happy. What may be happening is that your previous defenses are weakening, letting these put-away memories surface again when you're most relaxed and least able to fight them.
Sophie frowned, pulling her knees up. Yesterday had been the clearest vision yet. The nightmares grew more and more vivid, but nothing like what she'd seen last night under the trees. She remembered pain, experienced a horrible feeling of sickness. She saw Barry leaning over her, his face standing out in relief against the treetops above him. She remembered rain and lightning. She remembered Barry holding her down.
How often have you been experiencing these flashbacks? Dr. Perez asked.
Often.
Would you like to share them? Would that help? Perhaps we could work through them together.
No,
Sophie flushed. I mean, I'd rather not. I really wish I could just put them away again.
Dr. Perez was silent for a moment.
You could try, of course, but you might find it sapping more and more of your energy. If they won't be put away, it may be that you will have to find a way to come to terms with them, make peace with the memories as best you can.
Make peace with them? How?
Perhaps you could write a letter to your former partner, if they concern him. You don't have to send it. Just get it down on paper. Put voice to your feelings. Work through the memories and how they make you feel. Sometimes that can be enough to help you move on. Or you might call or meet your ex-partner in some neutral place and talk through things. Say the things you need to say. Did you and your previous partner ever reach any closure at the end of your relationship?
Not really.
Have you talked any time recently?
Just once, on the phone. I'm a little afraid of seeing him again.
That's perfectly natural. But I can see you're struggling, Sophie. Just remember what we talked about. Often the weight of the memories is something we impose on ourselves. Be certain you're looking back with an honest eye.
That's just it, Dr. Perez. I'm having trouble looking back at all. It's like my eyes are clouded, like I can't see. If only I could, maybe I could stop having these nightmares and...
She clamped her mouth shut.
And maybe I could stop seeing the darkness and the lightning. Maybe I could stop hearing my screams and feeling this awful fear.
Sophie? Sophie? Is everything all right?
Dr. Perez's cool voice brought her back from the bleakness of her thoughts. She looked at her psychologist's serious gaze behind her wire-rimmed glasses.
I'm all right, Dr. Perez,
she heard herself answering.
I think I just need to work through things. I don't know how, but maybe, soon, things will get clearer.
Dr. Perez leaned forward in her chair.
Just remember, that you have people around you who love you, people who really care. I'm always here, just a phone call away if you have a breakthrough. For now, though, are you okay?
Yes, Sophie said.
For now, I'm okay. I'm feeling much better, actually. I mean, I think I will be. I just need to work through things. But thank you for seeing me today. You have helped a lot.
Outside Dr. Perez's office, Dave fell into step beside her. How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? Is everything all right? For now, though, are you okay? No. But yes. If it makes you feel better, yes. Yes, I'm fine. She made me feel a lot better about what happened. She said this is normal. The traumatic memories you've suppressed can resurface during times when you're really relaxed and happy, because your defenses are down. I'm sure that's what happened.
Dave seemed content with that explanation, and Ryan seemed relieved later when Sophie told him the same thing.
So, you see, your game wasn't the cause of it, she assured him. I told you the truth, Rye. I had fun all week, and I'm really glad to have met you.
It seemed like too little to say to someone who'd fucked your brains out all week, but to say more would have felt awkward to them both. Ryan smiled and stroked her cheek one time, softly. I'm glad to have met you, too. I knew all along I would like you, only because Dave loves you so much. He doesn't give his heart to just anyone. He's really found someone special in you. Sophie smiled, feeling the familiar blush.
If by special you mean strange.
Ryan laughed. I think we're all a little strange. But it's good. We're strange together. That's the important thing. Later, just before Dave left to take him to the airport, Ryan drew her aside and held out a scrap of paper in his palm. No, not a scrap of paper. Sophie looked closer. It's an origami crane, Ryan said. They're a symbol of loyalty in Japanese culture, and they say if you fold 1,000 of them, a wish will come true.
1,000? Sophie smiled. Just 999 to go.
I would have made you 1,000, but we were kind of busy doing other things all week, he teased. Sophie studied the delicate work of folded paper.
You made this yourself?
I made it for you. I hope you keep it, to remember me by.
Remember you?
Sophie glanced out at Dave on the porch with Serby, then back into Ryan's dark eyes.
You'll be a hard one to forget. Anyway, I'm sure I'll see you again.
Of course. But you know how life is. I don't know how long Dave will feel like sharing you with me, at least the way he did this time. But I'm sure we'll always be friends. He held out his arms and Sophie leaned into him. He squeezed her just a moment before releasing her. I want you to remember that I'm here for you if you need any help in your studies, or afterward, finding a good internship placement. I've made a lot of contacts in my career that I'd be happy to share.
Thanks, Ryan. Honestly, this is...
She looked down at the intricate crane, amazed that blunt, hyper-intense Ryan could ever sit still to form something so delicate with his massive fingers. But then she remembered lovely moments under their dexterity, and that he was a surgeon.
I'll keep it always. And yes, I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Okay. Just take care. Take care of yourself and your nightmares will work themselves out. Dave will take care of you, too. Sophie smiled. She knew he would take care of her, that he wanted nothing more than to see her better, see her move on from the shadows of her past. That's why she felt so obligated to act as soon as Dave and Ryan were gone. She picked up the phone and paged back through the incoming calls list. She found Barry's number and dialed it quickly before she lost her nerve.
God, please answer,
she thought. If he didn't, she'd never have the nerve to call back. And if Dave found out she was calling Barry. But Dr. Perez had encouraged her to do this. She was right. The only way to move past him was to talk things out with him. He had no more power over her, but he had something else Sophie wanted. Answers. Hello? His voice stilled her racing brain.
Barry, hi.
It's Sophie.
Sophie? This is a surprise. His tone sounded brittle. She remembered their last call had not been very friendly.
Are you busy?
She asked.
No. Just curious why you've called me. Did your boyfriend throw you out already?
Sophie frowned.
No, and I don't want to talk about him. I actually called for a specific reason.
What reason is that?
I've been having a lot of nightmares, a lot of memories that don't make sense, and I thought maybe you could help me figure out what it is I'm remembering.
There was a short silence on the other line.
Help you figure out? What the hell are you talking about?
Sophie took a deep breath.
I have these nightmares about a night in the woods, and I don't know. I don't remember what happened, but I'm pretty sure you do.
Again, silence. The silence stretched so long, Sophie thought he might have hung up. But then she heard a long sigh.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never took you out in the woods.
Yes, you did. You took me to Overton Park, to the trails one night when it was storming.
I most certainly did not.
Why are you lying? I won't get mad at you, okay? I just need to know. So please tell me the truth.
Barry laughed.
I am telling you the truth. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I remember being in the woods with you, in that clearing at the top of the path. There was lightning, and you were there, and I don't know what you did to me, but...
Jesus Christ! What, have you been watching horror flicks or something? What a load of...
Just please tell me,
she said, her patience fraying.
There's nothing to tell. I never went to Overton Park with you. I think you make a lot of stuff up in your head. You always have. You did it when we were together, and you're doing it now.
It's not made up. I keep having these flashbacks.
Flashbacks? Please. I think maybe Daddy needs to spring for a new shrink. The one you've got isn't working.
Sophie gritted her teeth, frustrated to the point of crying. This was the cruel Barry she remembered. It infuriated her that he could still bring her to tears.
Just tell me, she yelled. Why won't you help me? I'm so tired of these nightmares. You don't understand what it's like.
I don't really give a flying fuck about your nightmares, Sophie. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and frankly, I don't care to discuss it further.
Sophie slammed the phone down into the receiver and covered her face with her hands. God, she hated him. Why couldn't she move past all this and get on with her life? Serby whined and nudged her, but she pushed him away and stood, going for her jacket. She was going to figure out what the fuck was going on before she went crazy. She was going to the clearing in the woods, and she wasn't leaving until she found some peace. The end of this episode. Come back tomorrow, and I'll read you episode 15. Of Deep in the Woods, book one of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. You can find out more about Annabelle Joseph and her books at annabellejoseph.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.